Good to have you back.
Revelation 6. Man, what is going on in Revelation 6? What a great chapter of the Bible. But aren't they all?
Got my friend Adobo here. We're good.
So last Wednesday, we had a really great discussion on that from Colossians chapter 4 about praying, being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving, being alert in prayer, watching, knowing what's going on around you, watching for what's wrong, watching for what's right, watching for the Lord, being aware. Our prayer life is circumspect. It is watchful. It is alert. Our eyes are open. We are awake. And we are thankful at the same time. We are thankful. That's written by a guy in jail. Two people who are free. Telling them, be alert, be watchful in your prayers with thanksgiving. The Lord wins. The gates of hell will not prevail against him. He wins. He comes back on his white horse in his robe soaked in blood, and he wins. So we are watchful, and we are thankful, and we are on his side. And whatever happens to us here, when he comes back, we rule and reign with the victor, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I mean know him, not about him, know him. You've surrendered to him. You will be on the losing side of eternity. You don't want that. We don't want that for you. So please, please consider in your heart today, this is all true. This is going to happen. As much as the cross happened, the ascension happened, if you believe Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Jesus Christ, and he will come back the same way that he left. That is going to happen. So there's no reason for anyone to be on the losing team. We can all win. So Jesus Christ, he is our hope. Revelation chapter 6. The beginning of judgments. It's quite easy to see in Revelation chapter 6 that we're beginning something new and different, a direction. If you remember, if you can, you know, look back and you're familiar at all with Revelation, we had the letters to the seven churches that ended at the end of chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, we have this picture of God on the throne of heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so there is God in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, there is this scroll. God is holding a scroll. He's seated on his throne, holding a scroll written on front and back of that scroll. And there are seven seals on it. And those aren't like pieces of tape. Those are like seven seals, like soft wax or something. And an angel is asking, who can open the seal? Who's worthy to open this scroll, to start popping these seals off of here? And so chapter 5 of Revelation is the introduction here to the Lamb of God, who is worthy to open the seals. And it is the seals of judgment, the judgment, the tribulation period, let's put it that way, is beginning when Jesus opens these seals. And so that's what chapter 6 is then. It's the beginning of judgments on planet Earth. It's not to say that before he opened these seals that there weren't things moving into this time. There were things were transitioning. It didn't just go like that. There were changes taking place as there are today. But when these seals are opened, this is the judgment beginning. So let's begin at Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. There are seals, and there are horses, and there's a lamb. Now I watched when the lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Its rider was death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, and with famine, and with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Chapter 8 is the seventh seal, and there's silence in heaven for a half an hour before they introduce the next set of seven judgments, trumpets. So let me just walk us through quickly these horses and their riders, and then we'll make some applications to this. Number one, the white horse. First thing I'm going to say to you, do not think this is a good guy. This is an imposter. This is not Jesus. This is a white horse. But this is a leader. He's given a crown. This is a leader, a king, a president, some sort of official leadership that he has. And he comes out conquering and to conquer. This person on the white horse is man's hero. This is man's leader. This is man's savior. He comes out with a bow. He's given a crown of leadership, and he has a bow. No mention of arrows. The bow is a picture of some sort, some symbol of strength, I was fascinated that there are no arrows mentioned, no quiver mentioned. He comes out with a bow, and he's given a crown, and he's on a white horse, and he looks the part. But these are the judgments of the Lamb. This is a judgment on planet Earth. There will be an imposter. There will be someone who appears to be on a white horse, conquering and leading with authority and some hollow form of power and strength in a bow. You'll see this bow is weak. It's just a token. He's really not that powerful. You'll see in just a second why I say that. So he came out conquering. He's on a white horse. It doesn't say he has a white robe. It says he has a white horse. And he's an imposter. He may be, maybe, an antichrist or the antichrist or a beast or a false prophet, something of that nature. But he comes out conquering and to conquer. He is not a good guy. Don't forget that part. Second seal is opened, verse 3. I heard the second living creature say, coming out comes another horse, bright red. It's just these little nuances fascinate me to no end. Bright red is the Greek word pyros. It means it was like fire, and they're trying to put it in a color, on a color palette, but it was like fire, pyros. And so this horse was glowing red like fire, and its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slay one another, and he was given a great sword. Now there is your symbol of death and of power and of destruction. It is the sword, not the bow. The bow is a token symbol of weak power. The sword is the instrument that kills. And this rider on this bright, fiery red horse is permitted to cause civil unrest, international unrest, where the citizenry kills one another. And Christians are certainly a part of that. The people slay one another. So there is death now. Things have changed dramatically. The citizenry is divided. The planet is divided and hostile toward one another. Verse 5, the third seal, and this one's just so fascinating right now. Third living creature said, come, I looked, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales. You know what scales are? One on each side to weigh out the grain. Scales. Its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius is a day's wage. That's what they knew it as. A day's wage. A quart, one quart of wheat. You work a whole day for a quart of wheat. And three quarts of barley, and barley was kind of the cheap grain, the poor man's grain. So barley was three quarts of barley for a day's wage. And do not harm the oil and the wine. Oil and wine are precious at this point. If wheat and barley cost a day's wage, oil and wine are incredibly expensive, precious to purchase. Don't harm it. It's scarce. It's precious. It's like gold. That's what he's saying. He's saying that some sort of inflation will happen, that the price of grain will skyrocket, go through the roof. The price of simple things like oil and wine will skyrocket. Maybe shortages that cause that, but this rider who comes out will cause the economy of the world, of many places, to go off the charts in the wrong direction. You've felt a little inflation lately. Let me give you a little background to why this caught my eye. My friend Adobo, caught my eye. I've read this passage so many times in my life, and I'm like, okay. But it didn't really hit me until the president, CEO, founder of Goya Foods International, says here, he's Jersey City, New Jersey, a product of USA, and a product of España, South America. He's international, Goya, Hispanic food line. So I heard him speaking, teaching about the economy. And he mentioned that how our world right now is the inflation is going crazy, and these sanctions on Russia are causing it. The sanctions we are imposing on Russia are causing much of this problem. Russia itself, with Ukraine, produces 50% of the world's fertilizer that grows crops, and 30% of the world's grain products come from Russia and the Ukraine. He mentioned how Russia's economy in the first quarter of this year actually improved. Didn't hurt Russia a bit. But the nations, those European nations there, are really struggling for food. They are the ones struggling for food and gas and all. They will be the ones who will have these dramatic food shortages. America, we will probably eat. But as you see, the prices are going through the roof. Five states in America now have 50% of the stock of baby food. You've probably heard that. There are five states in America now who the shelves are only 50% full of baby food. So it's definitely an international thing, but this president of Goya Foods, who is very much in the Hispanic food line of business with all its grains and its taco shells and all these things that the Hispanic community brings to the table, he was explaining in detail how what we are imposing on Russia is absolutely ridiculous and hurting no one, particularly not Russia, except the poor citizenry of Europe, and inflating our prices. I thought that was a pretty good explanation. When I read this and I said, oh, isn't that interesting how an area, a geographic event, an area can definitely affect inflation and the prices and food. Many are saying there are going to be food shortages in the next 2, 3, 4 months. Even America will feel it. So we'll see, right? But it is all possible. This black horse, a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley, and if the farmers can't get fertilizer that easily or the prices skyrocket, what's going to happen? And now you have the trucking industry as well. He mentioned, president there of Goya Foods mentioned the trucking industry, how it's so difficult. The gas prices go up, they have to deliver food prices are going up. It's just quite amazing. I don't know if you heard the other news report about the bird flu. How many birds do you think, poultry birds, meat birds, food birds, how many birds do you think have died of the bird flu? 11 million in France so far. 24 million in the United States. Birds have been because of the bird flu. How many food processing plants have there been fires in the last year or so here in the United States? 20? 25? You haven't heard of them. Food processing plants just having a fire all of a sudden, a rash of them. It's interesting, isn't it? This great warrior leader of the Ukraine, Zelensky, you've heard of him. I'm not so sure he's even there, but you've heard of him. The Dutch government is asking transparency from him, because his reported worth is $850 million. He's been given a crown and power. And I'm not saying he's this person. I'm just saying this scenario is developing and playing out so crystal clearly these days that you can't deny it. It's undeniable what is happening on a worldwide scale, how that on the other side affects us here, affects prices, affects everything. And I say there's a giant theater happening right now. There is a show and a movie being played out on a massive worldwide scale. And you and I, if we aren't alert, watchful in prayer, sober-minded, you'll never know anything is happening. They're not going to tell you, but it is happening. It is happening. We're moving in that direction. The black horse. Verse 7, we have a pale horse. He opened the fourth seal, and the living creature said, "Come," and out comes a pale horse, kind of a greenish, off-white, nasty, pukey-colored, pale horse. Its rider's name is Death. And following Death is Hades, the grave. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth's population to kill with the sword, and there's your deadly instrument, the sword again, and with famine, and with pestilence, disease, bugs, and by wild beasts of the earth. The population is trimmed by a fourth when this seal is opened from various things. Some of the first horses and the riders, some of those first plagues for sure. And then we're just going to add into it other things, pestilence and wild beasts, civil unrest, famine. Quite a deal. And the population is controlled, is trimmed. You hear a lot of discussions about population control these days. Man-made population control. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why? The word of God. The word of God and their testimony, their witness. They were Christian. These are believers here in the fifth seal. They are under the altar in heaven, and they are crying out for the Lord, the holy sovereign Lord, the true Lord, to avenge their blood on those who dwell on earth. Christians will be slaughtered. And he says, "Yes, I will. Yes, I will." They were each given a white robe and told to rest just a little bit longer. There's some more coming. There are more believers slain who are coming. The sixth seal in verse 12, I looked and behold a great earthquake. I don't have to tell you how many earthquakes are in the news. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood, like the one coming tomorrow night that you won't be able to see because of the clouds. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished, looks like it rolled up like a scroll, and every mountain and island was removed. Then the kings of the earth, the great ones, generals, and the rich and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, they hid themselves in the caves and the rocks, crying for them to fall on them. And I read this, I thought, wow, how many of us, well, not us, but how many church people are bowing to the kings and the presidents, and the great ones, the great doctors, the great scientists, the mighty and the noble who pop on your television set and tell you what you need to do, and how many church folk are bowing to these kings and these generals and these rich and these powerful who are now calling for the rocks to fall on them. How many church people are bowing to these unsaved, evil leaders of these nations, presidents, kings, ambassadors, scientists, wealthy, elite. We bow to them at their word. And I'm here to tell you, we don't bow to no one but the King Jesus. You do not bow to no civil government authority but King Jesus. You will be the best citizen, the nicest person. You will, but guess what? They will kill you anyway. Nice will not help you. You will follow Jesus. But I will not bow to these world leaders. I won't bow to NATO. I won't bow to the World Health Organization. I will not bow to Dr. Fauci and his garbage. I will not bow to these men who will cower under the rocks in the caves for it to fall on him. And I'm ashamed and embarrassed at those who have. We do not bow to earthly kings and generals and powerful and rich and elite. We have one king, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. We have no business doing that. Be alert in your prayers. Don't pray with your head in the sand. Be alert. Be watchful. Be thankful. The judgment is coming. I don't know when, I don't know how soon, but it is shaping. It is shaping. The great day is coming. Now, look at this one verse. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. And you and I have to camp right here. We can't bypass this verse. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Tells us in verse 16 that it says, they're crying out, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Chapter 4 and 5. It's their wrath. It's their doing. What is happening? These seals and these riders and this Lamb pulling off these seals, it's their wrath. They are causing this. They are doing it. It is time for judgment. They are in control. This is not an evil world gone amok. This is the wrath of the Lamb letting them go amok. Notice everything that was said here. He was given a crown. He was given a crown. He was given authority. Verse 4, it says this rider on the fire horse was permitted to take peace. The pale horse in verse 8, and they were given authority. They didn't have it. He who is seated on the throne and the Lamb gave them, let them have this authority. This is the wrath of Jesus Christ. This is the wrath of God being poured out on mankind. It's no clearer. For the great day of their wrath has come. And who can stand? It is time for the wrath of the Lamb and of he who is seated on the throne. And so they give out crowns and authority, and they permit scales. It's time for man to show his very worst. But God is in complete control. This is his judgment and his wrath. And we were told this earlier, turning your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians. We were told this early on. Let's do 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, Mark. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since indeed, now this is, you're thinking to yourself, God does this type of thing? God does this? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. God told us this in the first century. Since indeed God considers it just, this is justice, to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Obey the gospel. Don't have it up here. Obey the gospel. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. Because our testimony to you was believed. The word of God was believed. The testimony of Jesus was believed. And so he's coming back. And he says it is justice, just, righteous for him to inflict vengeance and a fiery judgment on those who did not obey the gospel and who afflicted his people. That is the day that's beginning in Revelation chapter 6. This is God's judgment. The wrath of the Lamb. I don't know what you've ever felt or thought about Jesus, but this is a side you need to consider. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That should be easy to find. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be alert. Be alert in your prayers. Know what's going on. Know all sides of the story. Be alert. Look around and be thankful. Be thankful you are with God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Be thankful you are his. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Be thankful. But be alert. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 2. For you yourselves are fully aware. You are, right? You are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying, "Well, there's peace and security, finally." Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you church, you're not in darkness. Brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, that's not you. You're not going to be surprised. You see all these things coming. You pray alert and awake and watchful. Verse 5, you are all children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. And since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Before I go further, let me just draw your attention really quick to verse 6. You're children of light, children of the day, so then let us not sleep. He's not talking about going to sleep at night. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Let us be alert and be sober, be calm, be rational, be circumspect, be clear-headed. That's what he's saying. He's not talking about getting drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He's not talking about sleeping at night. He is talking about our mental and our heart and our spiritual senses being alert and awake and sober. We're in tune with the Holy Spirit. We know what's going on and we sense it, and the Holy Spirit is telling us. You know this, he says. You're children of the day. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're not going to be taken by surprise. You know all this is going on, right? Be alert. Be alert in your prayers and be alert every day. He says, every day, you're children of the light. You see the light. Other people see the dark. You are in the light. You see clearly. See, they're in the dark and they can't see what's going on. I stand up here talking about this stuff and people are like, what? That's not what CNN said. But you see it. See, you're of the day. You're in the light. Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, I get it. You can have a conversation with somebody. You can stand there for an hour and you all see it because you are in the light. And your head is clear. It's not drunk with this life or this world or some other weird thing. You see it. That's what he says. You're fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You know this. Nobody's going to surprise you. And so you put on this sober heart, spirit, mind. You're clear. You're calm. I'm on the side of the King. This is his wrath. This is his doing. This is not just evil out of control. This is his permitting. I'm okay. I'm part of his church, his body. I am fine. Since we belong to the day, let's be sober. How do we be sober? Here it is, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on the breastplate, protecting your heart. Faith and love. And the helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, hope, and love. You want to know what faith, hope, and love are? Right there they are. This is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the day of God's wrath that he is orchestrating. He is allowing. It is when he says it's time. When he says, no, I'm not going to avenge your blood yet. There's more to come. You know he's in absolute 100% control. Does he know his people are being butchered on planet Earth? Yes, he does. He says, that's fine. They're coming up here with me and we will spend eternity together. This is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the wrath of our Jesus that's coming on planet Earth. Now, do you want the good news? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It's on the screens. Why don't we read it together? For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not destined you for wrath. If you're a believer, you belong to King Jesus, you are in his kingdom, he has not destined you for wrath. You will not see or know the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of that great day. This is a rapture person's favorite verse right here. It's why if I believe what I believe, if I have hope in the rapture, it's right here. I am not destined for wrath. And there's a whole lot of other things I can't understand that just don't quite jive with me. I'm just kind of like, well, I'm just not sure. But I do understand this. I have not been destined for the wrath of God. He is going to snatch me up out of here, send a bus, a boat, a plane. I don't know how he's going to do it. And we're going to say he's going to snatch us away. That's what the rapture is. Well, if somebody wants to argue that with you, if you're going to argue that, you just tell him, do you believe in the ascension of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1? It said that as they stood watching, he beamed right up through the clouds. That is the rapture. It just happens like that. So if you believe in the Bible, the ascended Jesus Christ who will come back, then the rapture's child's play, quite honestly. It's the whole timing of the whole thing that messes with me sometimes. But listen, the rapture is perfectly doable, and you and I are not destined for the wrath of the Lamb. You should be applauding, you should be thanking God, you should be looking up. You shouldn't be able to even hear me at this point because you'd be going, thank you! Thank you, Lord, thank you. We are not destined for the wrath of God. It's not going to happen to you if you know the Lamb. If His blood was shed for you, it's not you. It's not you. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the sweetest words we'll ever read, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, dead or alive, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage and build up one another. Now, I'm going to leave you with these walking orders from the Apostle Paul and from the Lamb who told us this stuff from the first century on. The Lamb told us this for our good, for our benefit. This is what he says. Same chapter, 1 Thessalonians. Don't move. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Listen, this is how we respond. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Admonish those who are just seem to be doing nothing, just spinning their wheels, undisciplined, just kind of not seeing it, not getting it. What are you doing? Admonish those people. Get after them a little bit. Can't you see the world is changing? It's taking shape. The one who ascended is coming back. Encourage the faint-hearted. When you preach these passages, some just quite honestly get scared to death, and you know that's true. Encourage them. Encourage them. You haven't been destined for wrath. A rapture is entirely possible. Get your head up. You're on the winning team. It's not going to be easy, but you win. Let's go. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. And that's the hardest part, Pastor Terry. That's the hardest part, Pastor Terry. I am not good at being patient with them all. Get your head out of the sand. Pull up your big boy pants. Come on. Do you believe in Jesus? I'm not good at this, okay? I'm not good at this. See that no one, this is critical for us, this is critical for us. As we look out those windows, we turn on our TV set, I'm just going to tell you, every single news channel that you're watching on that TV set, they are on the payroll of this new world order. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they are on the payroll of the new world order. Our president himself said we are moving into a new world order and we need to be leaders of it. I'm telling you, do not get your news there. Do not trust the kings and the generals of this world. They know there's a new world order in the making. And see that no one of us repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those are the marching orders of Jesus Christ. To put it simply, as I talked to a man on First Friday, Terry and I were sitting at a table with a couple, and he opened the can. See, he opened the can, and I jumped in the can. And that wasn't good. And he wanted to talk a little revelation to me in these churches that don't talk a little revelation. And then I opened the trap door, and revelation came pouring out. And instead of being this bold man, well, we don't need to panic. No, you don't need to panic. But you need to prepare. Don't panic. Do not panic. You've not been destined for wrath. But prepare. Prepare. You're awake. You're sober-minded. You're not of the night. You're of the day. You see it. You see it. You're not going to be surprised because you've seen it coming. Don't panic. I encourage you, faint-hearted, don't panic. Prepare. Prepare for inflation, food shortages. Prepare civil unrest, people fighting. Prepare for a leader, some sort of leader who will come on a white horse with a bow. How cute. Somebody's just behind you, just propping you up with your little bow on your white horse. Prepare. Know it's coming. You should not be fooled by this leader. Prepare. Don't panic. The day's coming. And it's taking shape now. It's taking shape now, but you have not been destined for wrath. And you might have the funnest ride of your life coming any day now. You think Cedar Point's cool? You haven't seen nothing. This could well happen. This could very well happen. If Jesus does it, he can do it to us, and just like that. The judgments have begun in Revelation chapter 6. It is the wrath of the Lamb, not the wrath of the evil one. It is the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus is in total control today on planet Earth. He's in total control. I'll close with this verse. Verses. Don't know about you, think I do. This is who I follow. Revelation chapter 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Another one? The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, many crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God, the living Word of God. Go there. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. We're following him on white horses. What size do you wear? What size do you wear? Yeah. All right. You're all size 7 in heaven. Clothed in a white robe, white and pure, on white horses. I've never, hardly ever ridden a horse. This will be a miracle. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He, Jesus, he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Jesus will be the one stomping out the grapes. He will be the one. This is his wrath. By the word of his mouth, he will strike down everything lying, false, evil, deceptive. It's the word of God. It's the sword of his mouth. He will speak it. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who I serve. No one else. No one else. I have not been destined for wrath. Neither have you. If you're with that white horse, you are not destined for wrath. If Jesus ascended, he's coming back, and you could rapture right on out of here with him. These things are starting to shape. I do not know the day or the hour. No one does. I do not know the day or the hour. I do not know the names attached to many of these people, but I see it because I'm of the day and I'm of the light. And we see, those of us who are in the light see. If you're not in the light, here's my prayer. If you can't see what the world I'm talking about, see me. Because we need to pray. And we need to put the Holy Spirit in you from him so that you can see. Don't live life in the dark. Drunk on this world. Following the kings and generals of this world. If that's you, you cannot see and you need the light in you. The light of this world. See me. If you don't know what I'm talking about. It's shaping. It's shaping. And he's coming. You have not been destined for wrath. Amen. Lord, thank you. Lord, you are so good and hopeful. We rest on faith, hope, and love. Our hearts are comforted with faith and love. Our hope is salvation from you. And you are our only hope. You are our only strength. Help us, Lord. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Never repay evil for evil. Lord, work in us. Help me to be patient with all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes it just works out that way. Sometimes we pick the music out and it sort of goes with the sermon. Would you please stand and join us? We're going to sing Soon and Very Soon, because soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Hard time's coming. Looks like it, doesn't it? Said inflation's 8.5%. There ain't nothing that's 8.5% on this planet, not in America. Food's up 75% alone. Gas is up more than 25%. Don't let them lie to you. They know what's going on. If you don't listen to me, listen to them. They're going to tell you. They're telling you what's going on. They're writing books and having videos. They are telling you what they're doing. But they're not doing it. This is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the wrath of the Almighty God on the throne. He's in complete control. He is in total control. And you are not destined for wrath. You are not destined for wrath. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, see me. So you can see him and see that. Be alert. Prepare. Don't panic. Prepare. Prepare. Lord, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.